Welcome to System Mastery, the podcast where we beat a dead horse 1d6 damage at a time. Say, do you like anime? Sure, we all do. But wouldn't it be great if anime books, packed to the gills with boring pictures of anime, weren't also role-playing games somehow? Well, have we got a solution for you. It's Tenchi Muyo, the resource book and RPG, right here on System Mastery today. Welcome back. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, my eyes are burning.
That's John, by the way. His eyes are burning. And I, of course, am Jeff.
Yeah, my eyes are aflame.
Yeah, are they?
Yeah.
Like your burning eyes of fire?
Yeah, they're going to go running off into the night.
That's the classic Wendigo story, if I remember correctly.
Which is weird, because that has nothing to do with an actual Wendigo.
Yeah, a man screaming because of his eyes on fire goes running out of the night by his eyes.
Yeah.
Like a Tex Avery cartoon upside down.
Yeah.
Wendigo, he says. Even though I think a Wendigo is like a cannibal or something.
Yeah.
Just a regular old, or a big orange guy that fights the Hulk.
That's Sasquatch.
Oh, okay. It's a big white guy that fights Sasquatch.
Yeah, I mean, that's closer.
I don't remember how. Wendigo is a Marvel character, right? There is a one. There's not going to let that die on the vine.
No.
Do you think that Sasquatch has had to fight, like, other supervillains of every type? Has Sasquatch from the Alpha Flight ever had to fight Skunk Ape?
That's what we all want to know.
I think that's the kind of hard-hitting journalism that this show gives us a chance to really do for the people.
I really like that Sasquatch is like a weird curse instead of, oh yeah, there's some, you know, animal out there that is a Sasquatch. It is, oh no, I got cursed to be a Sasquatch.
My only experience with Sasquatch is from the Exiles series, and I'm guessing that's probably an alternate Sasquatch.
Yes.
So I have no idea. If it's not Dr. Jennifer Hudson, I have no idea who else Sasquatch even is.
Oh, Sasquatch has been passed down.
Oh, Sasquatch is many things.
Well, Sasquatch, like I said, Sasquatch is a weird curse. It's not like
people.
You can just go, oh, I'm going to be a Sasquatch or something.
And she's not a mutant.
No.
Even though she's in the Alpha Flight. I guess the Alpha Flight's not all mutants, though.
Ah.
You got a bunch of mutants. There's a lot of mutants in Alpha Flight, because it's an X-Men license.
Yeah.
Is Puck a mutant?
Sure.
Probably.
Why not?
I mean, he's a little dude. And his superpower is what? Bouncing or something?
Yeah, he can, like, shoot himself towards people.
I've always wondered.
He's like a shitty, poor man's cannonball.
Yeah, okay, that makes. I have always been curious as to what the definition of his actual power was. He can hurl himself at people, so he's basically a little hockey puck man.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's a Canada team, and he's Puck. You get it?
He
dresses in all black, and he shoots himself at people.
That's so adorable.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's just not called, like, the Maple Leaf or something.
I mean, there was a while there in the 90s where he was called the Knuckle Puck, but
but then they got sued. Turns out that Gordon Bombay isn't just a coach. He's a high-powered lawyer.
Turns out.
I watched the first movie, too.
All of them. All the movies.
I don't know if I've watched every Mighty Ducks movie. I've watched three. Are there three, or
sure there's probably, like, a direct-to-video fourth one.
There's probably those cartoon superhero ducks have their own.
Oh, I'm sure the Mighty Ducks cartoon has its own movie.
It's got to have a movie somewhere.
And by that, I mean it's the first, like, couple episodes that introduce them, and they just package them together as a movie.
Yeah. I've always wondered, since there actually is a team, the Mighty Ducks, to the Anaheim Mighty Ducks or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think they've ever worked in any of the other hockey teams as villains for that show, back when that show was being made?
I don't think they could.
When they had to, like, fight the New York Rangers or something. It was just a bunch of, like, elves with bows.
From New York.
Hey! I'm existing peacefully with nature here!
Whoa, you gotta go try to Lambus over on 53rd Street.
Well, if they didn't do that.
They were missing out.
Yeah. So
this all has to do very clearly with Tenchi Muyo.
Oh, Christ, I almost forgot what we were doing, and now I remembered. So this is the second or maybe third example of something that we come across every once in a while here on the show, which is the books that are like, well, an RPG isn't good enough, so we need to fill this thing with boring book stories, book reports about the show that this is based on. Here's so much crap about Tenchi Muyo for you, and pictures from it.
And it's basically the same thing like when we did the Dragon Ball Z one, where it was just like, it's not enough that we give you a Dragon Ball Z role-playing game. We have to give you essentially like an entire little flip book of DBZ information.
It's I don't know if it's because these books don't sell, as like a straight-up RPG book doesn't sell especially well to like anime fans. Like they're trying to hit two markets is what it feels like. They're like, well, there's anime fans are known for going to conventions so they can buy a bunch of still frame images from the show that they've watched 1,000 times, all collected neatly in a book that just sort of gushes about the characters from that show for $100. So they have to they do that as well so they can hit that market in addition,
I guess.
I don't. Anyway, that's what this is. John, how familiar are you with Tenchi Muyo?
I saw one episode, I want to say, of this at some point in time in my life. I don't know where.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've seen one, though.
Yeah. I think I've watched the original OAV, which at the time I thought was OAVs were worse than regular stuff. Okay, so a long time ago, I had a friend who was, and we're talking 20-odd years ago. I was in high school. I had that one buddy who was getting anime somehow.
Yeah.
You know, back when it was hard to
had
just,
a dealer.
Yeah. But, you know, in 1995 and 1996, it was hard to get anime.
Yeah, man. You had to go to specialty places.
Yeah.
You had to know a password, and a guy would lead you into a back room.
They slide that little thing, the slot open on the door, and they'd be like, what's the password? You'd be like, otaku.
Kawaii.
Keikaku. And he goes, that means plan.
And then they would open it.
That's how that works. But so I had that one friend who would show up with anime. And back then, when it came to anime friend, they didn't really, they couldn't afford to discriminate. They couldn't have taste.
Well, no, you got what you could.
You got what you could. So in 1995, 1996, he would show up with copies of things like Gunhead, like the second episode of Neon Genesis Evangelion, not the first one, some Bubblegum Crisis. Some kind of worms. But sure enough, he got the Tenchi Muyo OAV, which was super boring and felt like really rushed. Like it felt like there just wasn't any time for development of fights and so on to happen. And we were like, he was telling me, well, it's probably not very good because it's the OAV. We need to find the original, like, extended version of this series so that we can understand what the heck is going on. Turns out OAV stands for original anime, like,
video.
So that was, like, the original thing that we were watching. And it just was sort of rushed and pushed through the motions. So I for years, I thought OAV just meant worse one. like is
like the edited version.
Yeah, like it was like a Reader's Digest equivalent, like a clip show.
Yeah, the OAV is just like the best of.
Yeah, except it's ultra boring to actually watch. And to me, that made sense because I've been to anime conventions and I've watched them pay for stuff they already have for the seventh time because it's packaged slightly differently.
Ugh.
So I was just like, yeah, of course, OAV probably is just a translation from the Japanese for the worst version of this. You're still going to buy it, Americans.
Yeah, it's the otaku asshole version.
Yeah. And it's censored in that weird anime way where the nipples glow real bright, so you can't tell if you're looking at boobs or not. Isn't there an X-Man with that power? Headlights?
Well, if there isn't.
Headlights is the right name for her, though.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, fear those nipples. Okay, so, which could cut glass also. Different power,
secondary mutation.
Not a mutation at all. She just had sharp nipples. It's from a family line of...
The family of sharp nipples, not a mutation, naturally occurring.
So, I'd watched this way back in the day, and I have not watched it since.
Okay.
I was vaguely familiar with the characters, and when I hear the term Tenchi Muyo, I'm always like, oh yeah, that's that harem anime with the main character you just want to punch.
Yeah, like anime nonsense at the time when this was out,
like 87 or something. Yeah,
I mean,
this
like,
is old.
Well, yeah, no, this was like late 80s. I'm saying when it was out, like here, and people gave a shit.
Oh, okay, sure. So sometime in the 90s.
Yeah, in the mid 90s, around the same time that you would have seen it, is when I saw my one episode. But at that point, all the anime that I knew of was like I knew Sailor Moon existed and had never watched an episode. I knew Dragon Ball existed and would only get into that in, like, senior year of high school.
Okay.
And I had, for some reason, someone gave me, as a gift, the Ranma 1/2 movie.
I was just about to talk about Ranma One Half and Fruits Basket.
Yeah, I was like, this is weird. I don't know why you think I would want this, but they gave it to me, and I was like, all right, I guess I'll watch this. And I just went, what the fuck is happening here?
You see,
why does this dude want panties so bad?
You see, that Ranma One Half is just Japanese gremlins. You can't get them wet. Where they turn into animals or something?
They turn into either they like switch gender or they turn into like a panda or whatever.
I had a friend who wanted me to come over once to watch some anime with her, and I did. And she put on Fruits Basket, which is some sort of like high school slice of life dramedy kind of thing, right?
Isn't that the gay one? No,
I think that might be Oren Host Club or whatever. There's a million of these.
I mean, there's a ton of those.
Fruits Basket has gay characters in it, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I watched maybe 6 episodes of it, and I was like, all right, are we done? And she was like, yeah. She said, it's interesting. The characters on this show can turn into mythological Chinese zodiac creatures. And she told me that after we watched it, and I was like, no, they can't.
That's not true.
They can stand around, and the one who is not currently on screen can talk so that the show can be made cheaply. Huh? They never do anything. And she's like, no, they do stuff. And I was okay, do they do stuff once per season, and then the rest of the time they just stand around and talk in black suits?
Is it just high school students talking about, like, oh, I am so worried about whatever, and then, like, the last episode of the season is, oh no, a thing attacked, and then all of them turned into weird animals.
Probably. I don't know. I mean, mostly it's just jokes that would make more sense in the original Japanese. I have to assume, because otherwise, who's watching this and why? You know, like, the translation error is the only thing I can get to.
Again, it's one of those, if you got in on the ground floor of being an anime that was over here, it didn't matter.
Yeah, no, because it was your only option. Although that was like a year ago, because that's my friend who imposed anime.
Oh, yeah, but Fruits Basket is old.
Yeah,
it's really old is. As balls.
It's old as the motherfucking breadcrumbs. Yeah, so Tenshi Muyo is, according to this book, pretty much the second of these harem animes.
Yeah.
And the definition of a harem anime is more or less some dude is forced to share his life and house with a bunch of improbably superpowered hot women who want his dick for various reasons.
Yeah. Now, Tenshi Muyo is unique, I would say, in that it's one of the few of the harem ones where the main character doesn't like any of them. Like, normally it's, I have a crush on this girl. She lives with me, but also there are like 4 other ones that live with me, and they all want me, and I can't just say, oh, but I want this person because of reasons.
Usually it's because of reasons that make sense to Japanese culture that don't make sense. You're like, I definitely like this girl, and I would like to date her. Oh, if you say you would like to date her, then this other character will go insane.
Yeah. Or, you know, it's things like, but I'm not sure that she actually likes me, even though the entire show is about her being like, oh, you're so great. Oh, no, I have to run away from you.
Yeah. No, this. Oh, man. So they do mention the first one, which I never remember the name of. It's the one that Lum is in, which is the only character I can name from it.
Yeah.
She's that, you know, her. She's the one in the tiger stripe bikini with the big, like, boomerang.
With the big boomerang. You know what I'm saying.
She got the big bapperang.
She got that boomerang.
Yeah. No, but she really does. She has a giant boomerang weapon. I mean, I always think of her as, like, you see models of her and so on at anime conventions, and you're just like, oh, she seems like an OG in this field.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's like the Betty Page of this shit.
But, the fact that Tenshi does not give a fuck about any of these ladies. He is just like, all I want is friends. And when they're like, hey, stick it in me. He's like, oh, no,
that would be into pro. I don't know. They never just go like, well, I'll just go fuck your insanely horny dad then.
Well, they don't want the insanely horny dad.
No, no one does. No one wants insanely horny dads.
And that's another thing that I feel like shows up all the time in these harem animes is there's one dude who's like, oh, yeah, I've got all these ladies, but I'm not doing them. And then, like, either a friend or a family member or something who's like, I want to fuck all these women. And they're like, get away from me, you pervert.
There's so much about because also, Ninja Scroll was one of the things that was in the list of stuff that my friend was able to get a hold of back in the long.
Well, Ninja Scroll was also one of those way back in the day ones.
Yeah, it's one of those from the long, long ago's. And that one had that old man trainer who was like obsessed with panties and just an old pervert man. And I was like, man, based on these old pervert frog looking dudes that they show in Japanese stuff all the time, like in the animes.
Oh, yeah.
What's up? Do Japanese people get nosebleeds when they get horny? What is... weird trope. It's such a there's so many weird tropes that I've never fully had explained to me. I don't remember if that was part of this one, but here's the thing.
Oh yeah, no, there's during the like we're all at a hot spring episode,
mm-hmm.
and he sees him naked. He does get a nosebleed, I think, like twice.
Ugh, for Christ's sake. Incidentally, this book's kind of hard to read in public because there's a lot of pictures of Ryoko naked in here.
There's a lot of anime titty in this.
Yeah,
now, again, it is obscured. Like, it's the brightness has been turned up enough that nipples just sort of look like the rest of skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're looking at a Barbie doll.
Yeah. Plus, it's not especially sexy when you look at Ryoko naked for an extended period. Like oh, it's on a page. I have no choice but to be here on the page with it. And you realize that her boobs pretty much attach up where, like, her scapula is.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, that's messed up. Is that because she's a weird space mummy monster?
I would assume so.
Fertilized mass being space pirate mutant, whatever. They had to work so hard to make this jack-off material.
Ah.
Like, so much harder than most jack-off material needs to be.
Most of it just needs to try the bare minimum.
Yeah, just be like, oh, look, tits.
Hey. Like, hey, look. Look at them.
Yeah, there they are. Waving around gently in the breeze. But this has to be like, well, she's not necessarily a space pirate, because at first, she's a 700-year-old alien mummy who can send her ghost out, but then you discover that she's actually grown from the ovum of a secret evil scientist who's 20,000 years old, which she has combined with the residual energy of a primal aquatic organism known as the mass, and you're like, ugh. But anyway, she gets her BAPS out.
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
It's just so much. The other thing that was fascinating about Tenchi Muyo is what I learned from this book,
uh-huh.
Is that it was never a manga.
Oh, yeah.
That it's an OAV in the sense that it is an original anime. It was an anime in the first place.
Yes.
And most of these harem animes are not. They're based on some manga or manga.
Manga?
Okay, some manga. The other thing I learned is that it's extremely rare for the distaff version of this to exist, where a single woman has to live in a house surrounded by various hunky dudes.
Yeah.
Who just are like, hey, would you like this dick? Although I would love to see an episode of that.
That would be so good. I would love that too much.
I prepared you a pheasant under this big metal plate thing that you would only see ever in a cartoon. And she's like, your dick's in there.
I know it is. Just stop. You're holding it at dick height. Obviously, your dick is in there.
Who offers a giant serving tray sideways anyway?
Also, I mean, the reason you don't see that is that's pretty much what, like, ladies' existence is anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Wandering around while a bunch of dudes offer her their dick.
That's true. They don't need to make it.
No, that's not a thing you need to make up. That's not a fantasy.
Okay, so since this book starts with the story of Tenchi Muyo, maybe we should as well. If you're wondering about the rules, don't worry about it too much. We'll get there eventually.
Oh boy, the rules are nothing.
It's Tri-Stat. We've done Tri-Stat twice already. You're fine.
Go listen to one of the other Tri-Stat episodes.
We'll get there.
Fuck you. This is an all anime all the time. Oops, all anime.
30% of our listeners just turned this off.
Oh, shit.
Just now.
Oops-a-daisies, I'm gone.
It's okay. We already got their money.
Yeah, 30% of those listeners, which none of them pay for this. We already got their no money.
That's true. Okay, so the Tenchi Muyo RPG, or story. Tenchi Muyo is a boy who lives with his grandfather and his father at a shrine in the woods in a big house, where he learns martial arts and discovers an evil mummy. And good Lord, John, take this away from me. Take the ball and run.
Okay.
I couldn't even watch this show. Reading long, whingy book reports about it is even harder.
Okay, so basically, the original series has like 12 episodes,
mm-hmm.
and each one is, like, to begin with, mostly just introducing new people that want to fuck Tenchi.
Yeah, or so, there's maybe four of them that kind of want to fuck Tenchi. The other ones are like, I want to be his little sister.
And also, probably fuck him. Did I mention I'm 700 years old? It's okay if I do.
Oh, Sasami, come on.
So, anyway, the first episode is, like you said, Tenchi's just living out in the middle of nowhere. He doesn't really have any friends, and all he's got is, like, his dad to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a legend of a demon in a cave, and he goes and sees there's a sword in there, and he swings it around and hits a rock, and the rock crumbles, and oh no, a demon's in there. And then it's Ryoko, and Ryoko tries to murder him at school.
Yeah. Yeah, Ryoko shows up at his school and tries to murder him, but he flails backwards and manages to cause an explosion on accident, because one of the other things about Tenchi is that up until the climax of this original series, he's just a clumsy dumb shit.
Well, yeah, he's got the hilt of this sword that has magic gems in it, and it's attuned to him such that he can occasionally just have, like, a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And the fight goes on. He manages to cut off Ryoko's hand that has a gem on it.
Yeah.
And it grows back immediately.
Yeah, because she has regeneration powers.
But it means the gem wasn't attached to her, so she couldn't use her powers, and he managed to get away.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the fact that he was able to cut off her hand made her real horny for him.
Yeah, and that's going to last the rest of the series. There's never a point where she's going to be like, man, this guy's just a fucking schlub, isn't he?
I fell in love with him because I thought, you know, oh, he's a badass, but then I realized he's just some dumpy asshole.
Yeah, do you think eventually she'd be like, well, I've tried offering to fuck him, filling up water balloons with offers to fuck him and lobbing them at him, and nothing. He just doesn't care. This guy is a zero go. He just doesn't.
Oh, yeah, no. Tenchi is, for all intents and purposes for the show, he is asexual.
For this show, yes. Eventually, Tenchi gets a girlfriend in Tokyo when he moves there for some other version of the same show.
Yeah, but for the OAV, he is basically completely asexual, has no desire to do anything with these people.
Yes, and is consistently embarrassed or put off by their suggestions that he would like to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what that Lum show was, but I do know that the dude in that Lum harem anime was like, hell yeah, I want to fuck all these ladies.
I want to get ladies.
And then they'd get mad at him.
Yeah.
It was they're like, we have to live with you and we want to have sex with you, but don't you try.
Yeah. So
just jerk off already.
So the next thing that shows up is, God, I can never remember her name.
Ayaka.
Okay. I always want to say Ayeko.
So the Jurai princess Ayaka, who is, she's of the species known as the Jurai, which are basically Jedi. But they're like descended from sentient trees. And
they've got like several thousand year lifespans and whatnot.
And they have like force powers, basically, just sort of anime powers. And
they've just got anime energy.
Yeah.
And so she's flying through space and she gets a little signal thing that says like, ooh, some fucking pirates on this planet. She's like, great, let's go fuck them up.
Could it be Ruins Buster Kagato? And they're like, no, it's not. It's someone unimportant. And also the statute of limitations against her has expired.
Yeah, the crime she's committed, no one gives a shit about because it was 7,000 years ago.
And it was like vandalism and stuff. So so she's not that. And she was like, but for the honor of the Jurai, I must. And I was like, you must what? Arrest someone you're not allowed to arrest?
Yeah, just go down there and chastise them? What are you going to do?
I don't know. But anyway, what she does do is she goes down there and crashes her ship.
Yeah, she fucks up, crashes his ship, and fights with Ryoko a bunch and then falls in love with Tenchi.
Also, her little sister is there.
And her little sister is, God, thank God she isn't like, I also want to fuck Tenchi in this, because, man.
She's the one who wants to be Tenchi's little sister.
Yeah.
But her story is basically the purpose-built backstory of the it's okay to fuck her even though she's 12 trope of the internet.
Yes.
Because she's like, what are you? Oh, I'm a little girl, but I'm actually the reincarnation of the endless spirit god Tsunami.
And I'm 800 years old, and I'm so mature and whatnot. And
when I look in mirrors, I see the actual adult woman Tsunami that is me staring back at me.
Yeah.
I mean, she just has the oh, it's okay, my soul is a 12-year-old or 12,000-year-old dragon.
Yeah.
She has that backstory. Thankfully, they don't do anything with it, which good on you, good anime.
Thank you, Tenchi.
Yeah. Apparently in 1986, they hadn't yet realized it was okay.
They were like, ooh, that's crossing a line. Yeah. And then later on, people were like, fuck that line.
Yeah, that's a bad
line. In fact,
line.
I turned that line into a 12-year-old.
So now we've got three alien sort of things living with Tenchi. The one story I did want to tell, because it gives me this tone of the book, where Tenchi takes Ryoko into his room to like treat her wounds or something.
Yeah.
So he's got her up there, and he's like hiding her from his dad. His dad realizes it, and then the book says, naturally, because Tenchi's dad has been concerned that Tenchi is not especially popular with the ladies, he goes outside and gets a ladder and a video camera so he can film his son's first acts of love with a woman.
Yeah.
Quit saying naturally, book. You're implying a chain of events that makes sense.
Yeah, it's his dad saw that he had a woman in his room, and he was like, oh, I gotta get this on camera because I'm a sick freak.
Obviously.
Naturally, that's what you do in this situation.
Wouldn't anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my tape of his first steps, his first words, and now I've got a video of his first fucking.
Yep. Oh, Emily Post would be so proud of me. I'm doing this exactly by the book.
Look, I dressed him up as a sunflower, and now he's going to have sex.
Good old Ann Geddes porn. come on, let's fuck amongst this big pile of Weimaraners.
Look, we're both going to get into this pumpkin, and then we're going to fuck.
I mean, the Weimaraners is a different photographer, but that would still be some pretty great porn. note that I'm not suggesting that we do anything with the Weimaraners.
Oh, no, they're just there.
They're just also there.
They're as confused as you are.
At a certain point, they start to understand what's going on.
At a certain point, they're just like, and put their heads down and go to sleep.
Just nod knowingly.
Yes. Yes. Quite.
That's the smell of human fucking.
They just make eye contact with you and then begin licking their own balls.
Oh, man. This line of porn that's inspired by famous photographers is horrible.
It's the worst.
And we shouldn't do it.
So, now he's got three ladies living with him. Mm-hmm. And, of course, his dad is super horny. And he, like, wants to get with...
mostly Ryoko.
Ryoko.
Because Ryoko's the one who seems the most, you know, she's a goer, right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
And we find out that he's, like, super powered because... He grabs Ryoko's tits at one point, and she, like, goes to punch him, and he just grabs her fist. She's like, wait, hold on a second. And then she punches a staircase, and it explodes. She's like, no, okay, I am still superpowered.
Yeah, it turns out that this old dude's also got some kind of powers.
Yeah, we don't know what it is yet, though.
It's so mysterious. Meanwhile, up in space...
The world's worst space cop.
We got to add another character. I honestly assume that Mihoshi exists because the show needed a blonde.
I assume it exists just because they were like, well, we need at least one more or else it's not a true harem.
I mean, because there's two more coming.
Otherwise, it's just a love triangle.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's still at least two more coming, though, because you've got Mihoshi and Washu.
Oh, that's true. But yeah. Washu's, like, at the very end.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, Mihoshi is a space cop who is an idiot and clumsy. I swear she did that. They did the clumsy thing because that makes ultra-hot, like, professional people accessible in movies.
I guess.
That's how they do it in romantic comedies. They're always like, how can this fat, schlubby Seth Rogen hook up with a sexy hot girl? Oh, because she dropped a plate once.
Oh, she's so clumsy. I'm like, so?
Yeah. That makes her accessible and easy to get to.
Okay.
She's a relatable human, just like you, because one time she dropped a football.
One time.
Just the once. It was the time the camera was on her, though, so it's fine.
Yeah, we got it on film.
Yeah.
Also, that first time she had sex. We got that on film, too.
I mean, it might sound crazy, but check it out for yourself in romantic comedy sometime. They use that to give women their one defining kind of human trait that makes them accessible to the schlubby dudes that they cast in those things.
Well, it's always... The woman who is the main character who's like, I've got a great high-profile job, and I'm that version of hot that's like, I'm in glasses and have a ponytail, so obviously I'm not hot.
Yeah.
Where you're like, no, you're incredibly gorgeous. The fact that you have glasses and a ponytail did not stop that.
If anything, it worked better for some of us.
And then, you know, she's clumsy, but halfway through the movie, she's going to... undo that ponytail and take off them glasses, but don't you worry. She'll trip a little when she puts on that red dress.
I'm a millionaire because of my magazine editor job, but I just can't seem to get my shit together. Oh, good. Justin Long is here.
Good pick. Excellent pick on the Justin Long.
Okay, so Mihoshi gets an instruction to go to Earth because there's...
Well, no, she gets the instruction to go try and stop some fucking pirate lord who just blew up a bunch of
police. Oh, that's right.
She's
actually being sent after Kagato, the Ruins Buster. But instead, she's like...
But she fucks up.
Fucks up because she's a dumb idiot. I feel real bad saying that about her because they're like, oh, but she's so wise. It's just that normally...
Oh, she's a super highly decorated police officer and everyone thinks she's amazing. Except any time she's on screen, she's like, oopsie doodle, I spilled coffee on the control panel and now I crash into Earth. And you're like, what?
The one nice thing about Mihoshi is that she doesn't seem to be super into Tenchi.
That's the problem.
Also there.
She crashes there, and, like, for no reason, after she shows up, like, the next episode, she goes, I am also in love with Tenchi. And you're like, what? You've barely said two words to that guy. You don't even know who Tenchi is.
The art style for Mihoshi is interesting. She's clearly an alien. Because both Ayaka and Ryoko are basically just humans. I mean, sure, Ryoko's boobs attach way too high, but otherwise, they're clearly just a pair of humans.
Yeah.
But
yeah, she's got a... Her boobs are clearly just a pair of humans.
Pair of humans just stuck to the front of her. But Mihoshi has, like, fangs and pointy ears.
Yeah, she's like the beginning of wanting to have a cat girl in your show.
But yeah, that's basically where she comes down on. She's like a little vampire elf. Also, she's ultra tan and blonde, which I assume was on purpose to kind of put a California Valley Girl flair to her.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's really not much to her. She just sort of bumbles around throughout the rest of the series.
Yep.
She's just another person in the house.
Yeah, she doesn't really have a plot is the problem.
Some super mad anime fan is writing to us right now. Mihoshi did super important things in chapter 11, you guys.
No, she didn't. She never did anything important. The story is entirely about Ryoko and Ayaka or whatever.
Ayaka.
Jesus Christ. Why can I never remember her name?
Don't forget about Sasami, Washu, and Ryooki.
Well, Ryooki is a cabot. It's a cat rabbit, and it's also a ship.
Yeah, because she absorbed a fellow mass entity, another primordial ocean creature, and gained the ability to turn into that one, and that one happened to be a big crystally spaceship. It all makes perfect sense, but just keep jerking off. It's fine.
Just keep jerking.
People are so mad right now. This isn't a jerk off show. I'm like, nah.
Also, this isn't an RPG show.
At a certain point, it will be. Don't worry. We'll eventually talk about the tri-stat rules. Skip ahead to the code I'm pointing at, right? Oh, I forgot. We're not on YouTube.
No, hold on.
Never mind.
Popping up on your screen is the skip ahead button.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. Hit that bell button.
Ooh, you'll get notifications when we put up new videos.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, hey, YouTube. What up? It's your boy.
Also, all of us YouTube people seem to know each other. I'm friends with H Bomber Guy and famous YouTuber Sean.
Sean.
He's just part of that same group as like ContraPoints, Lindsay Ellis, H Bomber Guy.
Guys, I'm in Smosh. I don't know, one of the rotating people in Smosh.
I'm in that, is it pronounced Ruby? Ruibi? How's that work? I don't know. It used to be Rooster Teeth, and now they're like all full of themselves instead.
I don't know.
Anyway, so pushing forward, here we go. A whole bunch more shit happens. A villain shows up. He's like some dude wearing probably small glasses. Washu shows up. She's an evil space scientist who is crab-themed. Oh, she's not really evil, I guess.
No.
She's a good space scientist who's a little impersonal and crab-themed.
And crab-themed.
Yeah, she's crab-themed. She actually is supposed to... Her haircut is supposed to be a crab. Which is fine because she has like a villain who's like a dude who has an octopus for a beard.
Yeah, so you know, that's fine.
And everything's cool. Dr. Clay or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And then misadventures occur for about 13 episodes. And then it's revealed that Tenchi is actually a half Jirai prince himself.
Yeah, because fucking What's-His-Nuts kidnaps Ryoko and they gotta go save her.
Yeah, Kagato.
Yeah.
Kagato kidnaps Ryoko and Ayaka and...
Stuff happens. We find out his dad is actually the... missing prince of Jirai.
He's a bona fide prince.
Dun, da, da, dun, da, dun, da, dun, da.
Funny, she didn't look Jewish.
Make way for Prince Kasuhito.
Okay, you're doing a whole different thing.
Yeah.
All right, I like that.
So anyway, that's the whole adventure is just... Like, the back end of the original series is just, oh, now we actually have stuff to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of it being, like, all of us fighting in a house trying to get that dick, it's all of us fighting in space trying to get that Ryoko.
Yeah, and eventually Tenchi gets some battle armor that's, like, magic summonable armor for his Lighthawk sword and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then there's a clone of Ryoko called Zero Ryoko, who she absorbs and becomes Ryoko Zero Ryoko.
Welcome to anime.
Uh-huh. And then she just, I think that changes her personality or so. I don't even know.
Anyway, I mean, the original 12 was very simple. It was just, this guy kidnaps Ryoko, they go fight him, fucking Tenchi realizes he is a badass
mm-hmm.
because he can use a laser sword and has Jirai blood. He's like a Highlander, and then he goes and kills a guy, gets all of his people back, and they all go home. And
yeah, he's like, hey guys, do you want to continue our stupid living situation where you're like, stay in my house, even though you're like all rich and princesses and shit, and just sort of live around here and awkward.
You
want to
go live on a house in a very small little cabin, and fuck around and do nothing.
Yeah, have awkward sexual situations develop, huh? How's that sound, my good friends?
Oh, that sounds great. That's what we want to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go back to being a cop for goddamn sure.
I have to assume that Mihoshi gets fired.
I would assume so.
It never comes up, but at some point you think like a letter shows up to Earth. They're like, hey, we've noticed you haven't done your job in several months. Instead, you've just been hanging out in the paper set here says a boy's house.
a small boy's room.
Mm-hmm.
So you're real fired.
Super fired. Also, we're going to disavow all knowledge of you. It's really hard to fire a space cop. Have you seen the Space Cop Union?
we're going to say you died.
So she's just declared dead.
Yeah.
We've named a small chunk of space highway after you. Peace.
We've got the memorial Hoshi highway.
It's a broken highway. It's real clumsy and stupid.
It sucks, and everyone hates it.
People keep dying. It's a fitting tribute.
So there you go.
That's the
general gist of what Tenchi Muyo is about.
That's
now,
the plot in 60 seconds and another 12 minutes.
Playing the game. This is one of those games that's like, we assume you are going to want to be the main characters. So it's going to give you all of the stats and everything you need to be Ryoko or Tenchi or whatever.
It's mostly, after reading the first 45 to 50 pages of this book, which is just line-by-line descriptions of everything that happened in every one of the episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's a little 30-page section that's the rules of how to play the game. And then it's like, also, here's Tenchi Muyo if you wanted to play as him. And it's just 8 more pages of all of Tenchi's story again.
Yeah. And it's every character, because they're like, all right, now what if you wanted to play Ryoko? Here's an entire rundown of everything that happened to her in her background.
What if I wanted to play a minor character, Space Commander, some sort of cat taper characters in the background of 2 of the shots from the book, the movie? Here's 3 paragraphs about him. Okay, thanks.
Great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it gives you the full stats and everything if you're like, oh, I want to play as whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here they are. And then, of course, it gives you a little sidebar of, so if you're playing in this game and you want to be the actual people from the show, there's a little bit of a power imbalance. Ryoko is crazy super powerful, and, you know, Tenchi isn't for the most part.
I mean, when you look at their stat builds, Ryoko's built using 65 points and Tenchi is built using 50 or 55, somewhere in there. The most powerful one apparently is Washu.
Oh, yeah. Washu is supposed to be crazy powerful.
Yeah. But I mean, really the weakest one is like Mihoshi, because she has like nothing going on. She's just a dumb space cop.
At least Tenchi gets to have a sword.
Yeah, he's got a sword and battle armor, because they give you his stats from the end of the series.
Yeah.
He's like, oh yeah, I have superpowers. I can summon battle armor. I have a lightsaber. I
put points into Jurai energy.
I have wings. I've gone ballistically nuts. And same thing with Sasami, who at that point has fully accessed the spirit of the god or something, whatever.
The spirit of Tsunami.
Tsunami, yeah. So the least powerful one is the one that didn't really do anything all series.
Yeah. The least powerful one is the dumb bumbling cop who has not done anything.
Yeah. And is drawn such that her hair always seems to be like floating near her. Like, I don't know if when you look at pictures of Mihoshi, there's always like yellow Kirby dots near her face, which is just like hair that didn't connect. As if she's just slowly shedding hair like snowflakes as she moves around.
Yeah. I mean, she might. She's a weird alien.
The other thing that's always weird about the Mihoshi art is the puffballs. There's puffball. There's like one on top of her hat, but also there's usually just one or two near her somewhere.
Just puffballs?
Just white puffballs.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck they are.
Who knows?
It's like a different artist took over for her. Anyway, okay, yeah. So there's all the stats for if you want to play as every one of the characters, and every one of the examples of play is like, he's decided to play as Tenchi, exactly as he would be at the end of the series. He has ideas about Tenchi and feels like he would do a great job recreating the character's continued arc.
Yeah. This, of course, is not going to go into the second adventures where he goes into like Tokyo or whatever. Instead, we're gonna stay in the original series.
We'll diverge from where the extended series go and just come up with our own adventures for what's going on with Tenchi Muyo. Now, when we first started doing these reviews and we came across games that did this, they were like, hey, here's how you play as the character from the thing. I remember being kind of
like Childs or MacReady. Yeah, characters from the thing.
No, it took me a second, but I'm up to speed now. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. First, you just said Childs. I was like, why would I want to play as a child?
Or multiple ones.
Yeah.
Multiple children. Childs. Yeah.
Childs is that's the plural of child, as far as I'm aware.
As far as I am aware.
No. I remember making fun of this. I kind of poo-pooed the idea that I was like, who wants to buy a game and then just play as the character from the movie that it's about? Like, if I'm going to buy that Wizards of the Role-Playing game, you can be damn sure I don't want to play as you know, Weehawk, the little elf man.
Yeah.
But now that I've been more of the internet than I used to be.
Now that I'm extremely online.
I'm much more woke in the ways of internet, as it were. I know that there's whole like chat rooms and Facebook groups and so on that exist where people are just like, I'm Shadow the Hedgehog, and my opinion on this is the following.
What I think about abortion is...
I think that probably
happens. Oh, that 100% happens.
Yeah. That there are a lot of people out there who want specifically to play the characters that are already part of the media. So these books do make sense to me now. I think when we first read, like, the Dragon Ball one, it was like, here's how you can play as Goku. I was like, who would want to do that? Like, Goku, if you want to follow the continued adventures of Goku, good news, he's in 3,000 episodes of a TV show.
I understand the people who want to. I get that that's a thing. It's just, I don't like it because I'm always like, but you're not going to do it. You're going to be like, ooh, I want to play as whatever, and then you're just going to be like a dumb caricature of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna be like, ah, oh, I wanted to be, you know, Shadow the Hedgehog, and now I'm just going to be my version of that. Mm-hmm. And also, he loves diapers and Jesus.
Even edgier.
Ow, the edge.
I feel like it'd be really hard to play as Tenchi Muyo correctly, because you'd be like, all right, so day one, Tenchi Muyo, I fuck Ryoko.
I give everyone in the house a number.
There's been some tension. I've been feeling it in the air, and I plow Ryoko. What about that game?
Huh?
How much XP do I get?
Huh? What about that? How do you like me now?
The DM's all like looking through the book real fast. There's a rule here saying a dog can't play football. That's
weird.
Useful, but
yeah, but you'd be like, ooh, I'm gonna fuck Ryoko, and then you're like, ah, yes, but then Sasami comes in and she, I don't know, blows up the bed.
I'm like, get the fuck out of here, Sasami. roll to make Sasami get the fuck out of here.
I love the idea that Tenchi's like, get the fuck out of my room. Ugh.
Tried to plow this pirate.
Tenchi's got black eyeliner now, and it's real surly about everything.
Yeah, okay. Day one, you're playing as Tenchi. What do you do? Okay, so I invite Ryoko into my room. All right, okay, you can have a conversation with her in there. I put on the most romantic ICP music that's available.
I put on that ICP ballad.
It's a whole album. It's called Songs for Down-Ass Clowns to Fuck To.
I would buy that.
Dear ICP.
Dear ICP, have I got an idea for you?
Oh, man. It's all like R&B jams featuring their growly-ass voices.
Oh, God.
Yeah, baby, I'm going to lay you down real good.
I'm going to pour Faygo all over you and lick it off.
Here we go. Remember that time I gave a lake herpes? Oh, yeah.
I'm going to smear my face paint all over your body, baby.
This is for you. Doctor says I got to wear two condoms. All right. So
anyway.
Actual character creation is handled just like it is in all the other Tri-Stat games. It's a point-buy system where you get a single pool of points that you use for absolutely everything.
Now, you have, as you might realize...
From Tri-Stat?
Three stats.
Yeah, you got left leg, right leg, and dick.
You have no upper body.
Yeah, like the dad from Cow and Chicken. It's a weird turn. It's a weird flex game, but okay.
Weird, but okay. I'm on board.
No, there's three stats, like John was saying.
Yeah, you've got your mind and your body and your soul.
Mm-hmm. Each one of them ranges in number from 0 to 12, with 0 being you have absolutely no control over this. You're just weak or powerless or mindless. And 12 being you are the most powerful being in the local area. You're the you're the biggest thing in the universe.
So
strongest in the universe!
4 is your like human standard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are fine at this, whatever.
Yeah. But characters in this game tend to have anywhere from the 4 to, like, 11 range. And, like, Tenchi, for example, doesn't have any 4s.
No. But, boy howdy, his spirit is so high, because spirit is your will and your ability to resist things. So he's got a real high spirit, because he resists getting a boner.
I don't know if he resists getting a boner. He resists doing anything with it.
No, he resists everything.
Tucking it into his belt.
Tucking it up.
Tuck it up. No one can see this.
Ooh, sneaky.
No one can see this boner. Hey, do you have an industrial outside elevator stuck to the front of your pants?
Oddly enough, yes.
Also, yes.
weird, but yes.
Weird flex.
So yeah, once you get your stats, you're going to have a lot of points to put into
skills,
which I think they call abilities.
No, skills are skills. Abilities are
the
actually, I would have thought you'd like the skill system in here. The skill system in here is I got to be honest, one of my favorites I've seen in a while.
Oh, no, I actually do.
Yeah, because there's not that many. There's like maybe 25 or 30 of them. None of them are seduction.
Nope.
All of them are easy. They just spend this many points for this many levels of the skill. And the description is things like, oh, I don't know, police sciences. Use this skill to do police sciences on things. Like, you know what it is. We don't need to donate that much of the page to this information. Look, folks, we got to give you a lot of detail about what Ayaka said to Ryoko in a pool that one time.
So, you know, here's a couple skills. Put some points in it, or don't. Whatever.
Who cares?
Who could possibly give a fuck?
Yeah. So you get a set number of points equivalent to whatever the DM thinks should be the power level of the game to start. Almost everything is bought on a one-for-one basis. Things don't get progressively more expensive. So if you want, if the DM's like, hey, you get 55 points, there's nothing stopping you from being like, all right, I have 12s in all my stats.
Like, I don't have any powers or anything, well, but by God.
He'd only have to give you 36 points in that situation, and the recommended starting is 55.
Yeah.
But then there's a list of unique attributes, and then a second list of powers, and then a third, fourth, and fifth list of powers, each of which are governed by having purchased a specific power in the beginning, like I have access to the Jurai power set or the Mass power set, or I own a mecha.
Yeah.
Each one of those unlocks its own list of powers. And all of them are just variations on spend this many of your character points for the following benefit.
Yeah.
So building a character is super easy.
Now, most of the powers and skills will have variable cost. So your stats are pretty, you know, one for one, but then it might be like, oh, if you wanted to get points in, like, I don't know, acrobatics, it's like, ooh, it's two per level, which, meh.
That's true. A lot of them are one per level. Some of them are more expensive, but it feels kind of arbitrary which ones are more expensive.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, yeah, I don't know, here's some stuff.
It is a little bit of a problem. I think at the beginning, this is something I found interesting. Appearance isn't, since you only have mind, body, and stat or soul for stats, appearance is listed as just a special attribute you can buy if you want your appearance to be notable.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, if you put 1 point in appearance, you're vaguely cute, with a little sidebar indicating the difference between cute and beautiful.
Yeah, and you can get things like, oh, well, this will actually affect if you make, like, certain persuasion rolls or whatever, then it can add a level onto that, so you can actually get above whatever the max level would be.
Yeah, or just get some extra levels for free. Like, I think Ryoko is listed as having a beauty or an appearance of 4, which means that she gets a 2 in the art of distraction for free.
Yes.
I found it kind of annoying that the book was like, all right, so here's the appearance values of everybody in the game. And keep in mind that the difference between beauty and cuteness is that you want to fuck beauty, but cuteness you just want to keep around. And I was like, oh, book, you have not met the internet.
Oh, book.
You're so charmingly daffy. Anyway, it's like, so Sasami, for example, has a cuteness of 2 because she's reasonably good looking. Almost all the other women in our character, main character Tenchi's life, have an appearance of 4 or higher because they are all staggeringly attractive. Tenchi has no points in appearance because he's kind of an average-looking dude. Because
he's just some dump that, for some reason, people are into.
I'm going to put the answer out right here. That's bullshit. That's because the book was written by a guy. I think Tenchi's a good-looking character. Otherwise, all these people wouldn't necessarily... I mean, even if he was impressive in other ways, they'd still get tired of him eventually. It's just that the book's like, no, dudes don't have appearance ratings.
Dudes aren't good-looking. Get out of here.
This is a stat for rating the value of boob size. Why'd you think we gave Sasami a little score?
Lol.
So, I just found that a little, maybe potentially sexist? I don't know for sure, John.
I don't know. But, I mean, you'd think he should probably have at least 1 or 2 points in there. I mean, he's in shape.
Mm-hmm. He's in shape. He's a badass. He's a prince of the Jurai with an ability to summon form-fitting battle armor.
I mean, he does have a rat tail, so that probably cuts it down a little.
Well, yeah, but you'd take that as a deficiency to get 10 extra character points.
Yeah, this does have defects that you can buy in addition to your, like, ridiculous powers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be like, oh, I have the ability to shoot energy beams, but also I'm clumsy?
Yeah, or... like building a weapon in this game is a mix of adding damage stats to it and subtracting damage from it with deficiency and then buying more damage in to the point where like his sword has, he has to spend 30 of his energy every time he swings it, but it ignores shields and it does 80 damage and it only works on contact, which is funny because that's listed as a weakness.
Yeah.
It was like, this sword only hits things it actually hits. Well, yeah, that's a 10-point defect.
There's a defect in the mecha that you can get that's like, oh, you can't disguise it. I'm like, really? So if I make a giant mecha that can't be disguised as something else, I get points for it?
I mean, if you think about it, you can probably only name one mecha from this show.
Yeah.
That fucking robot that can be, or the spaceship that can be disguised as a little cat rabbit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes. Although that's not what that power is listed as. That's become a mecha. The mecha power sub-attribute purchase.
Yeah, there's a lot of mecha sub purchasing things you can get.
Honestly, I kind of forgot, or maybe I'm just not, or the book kind of forgot how much mecha crap there was in this show.
Oh my god.
Because there's so much mecha crap in this book.
There is a ton of mecha crap in this book. It's like, but I like the mecha thing at least insofar as you can use it for anything. So if you're like, oh, I wanted to build a motorcycle. All right, that's just a mecha that you only spend a few points on.
You know what? I agree. Yeah.
If you wanted like a computer, that's basically a mecha.
I was going to say, the best example of a mecha they have in this book is Washu's computer and the cushion she sits on when she uses it. All listed as a single mecha.
Yeah. It's all just any tech item basically is just a mech.
Well, mostly it's because a lot of the stuff that mechs can do that they listed in here is what is based on what she could do with her computer. So, like, for example, I guess Washu's computer has a pocket dimension in it that's the size of a city, and she can access it by typing in some code on her computer. So they're like, all right, mechas can open pocket dimensions. And the best example of this, of course, is the famous Washu's computer room she can go into. Although apparently Mihoshi has one too.
Yeah, sure. People just got pocket dimensions.
Mihoshi apparently carries around a red cube, it said, which can open a pocket dimension the size of a bedroom.
Yeah. It also can, like, generate items for her.
Yeah.
But she's bad at using it.
Well, she's bad at everything. She's Mihoshi. I mean, if I had the ability to carry around a sexy-ass red bedroom that I could just pop open whenever I need to, I'd be the one fucking Tenchi. I'd win.
I would win.
I'd get it done, son.
I would get it.
Yeah. Because I'd try harder. I'd be like, Tenchi, I will jerk off your dick.
I don't know if you realize what all of these ladies are trying to do, but I will come out and say it. I'll touch your penis.
And he's like, sold to the man who gets me. My fanfic would be very short.
But it's
Tenchi
also...
It'd be called Tenchi and the guy who spelled it out for him. Sorry.
No, the other interesting thing is because AI is one of the things in mecha, it's also... If you wanted to create a character that was a robot, you would just have them be the has a mecha, is an AI, and is the character that I am playing.
Yeah, and then you just give your actual character zeros and everything.
You're just like, nope, I'm just this robot.
I mean, I do note that, like, for example, when you say I own a mecha, for every point you put into own a mecha, which cost 5 of your character points per point of I own a mecha, that generates 20 points of mecha points that you have to spend specifically on mecha. So you're already kind of buying it in at a discount.
Yeah.
So if you put, you know, there's only 5 ranks available of own a mecha. So if you put 25 of your starting character points into it, you've got 100 points of mecha now.
And man, the shit you can do with that.
Oh my God.
It's like, oh great. I have just some battle cruiser that I have.
5 points gets you something the size of a giant spaceship. And then another 5 points will unlock, I believe it's 10 points worth of mechas that can only live in your current mecha, which means that if you just take all your points and roll them into recursive mechas, you can basically make a giant ship made of robots, which is, you'll have so many more points than a starting character would.
So many.
You'll just be unbelievably powerful. But on the other hand, you are a giant floating spaceship made of robots.
On the other hand,
yeah.
How is that a problem?
I don't know. It'd be really hard to seduce Tenchi with that.
Tenchi, fuck me, I am a spaceship.
That's no moon. It's offering to touch my wiener.
That's no moon. It's offering to touch my wiener.
The moon's never done that, at least not on my birthday.
Well, you got to go into the Avatar universe then.
Oh, right. Also, she's a fish.
I'm a fish and the moon and I'll touch your penis.
By the way, that's the Last Airbender universe. Let's make it real clear that we're not talking about Pandora here.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Wieners don't get touched in that universe. They braid each other's hair or something.
Wieners don't get touched.
Welcome to the Avatar universe. James Cameron's Avatar, where wieners go untouched.
Wieners have no touch.
Where are we? What happened?
I don't know, man.
So yeah, you build a character out of defects and power bonuses. The whole engine of Tristat remains the same as when we made fun of it in Big Eyes Small Mouth long ago, in that attack and defense are connected only to the character rolling them. So no matter how good your attack roll is, you can do nothing about your opponent's defense roll.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're just like, oh, I invest very heavily in defense, you're like, okay, well, I can't do anything to you then.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter how well they hit you, which means you might as well invest very lightly in hitting, because it's just a 1 in 36 chance that this super dodge person that you're going to build will not just dodge the attack.
Yeah, I mean, for most, there is a attack combat value and a defense combat value. Mm-hmm. Defense combat value is baseline 2 less than your attack combat value.
Yes.
So normally, if you're super good at defense, it's because you're also super good at hitting people.
Yeah.
You're just amazing at combat. So, eh.
I mean, it basically means that you could just sit there rolling dice and be like, all right, I rolled 4 hits. How many misses did you roll? Did you, or how many hits got through? It's like playing 40K, but with more dice.
Yeah. That's not true. There's never more dice than 40K.
More, because it's 2 dice per roll instead of 1. Yeah, although you do have to roll bigger handfuls of dice in 40K.
That's what I'm saying.
You got a good point there.
I have a great point there.
You're thinking with your, that's thinking with your 40Ks.
Now that's thinking with touching wieners.
This episode's gotten real wiener heavy, John. I don't know. I don't know if people are
going to
be.
Well, it's because I'm real wiener heavy.
I don't. Our test market. I'm heavy of wiener.
I am gravid with wiener.
That's why I need 2 seats on the flight, you see.
God damn it. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know if our test market's going to be okay with any of this.
Well, we'll just have to run it by them and then let them know that we'll touch their wiener if they're all right with it.
Tenchi and the guy who spelled it out for him.
So,
I mean,
yeah.
It works so well. It would work well in Harry Potter, too.
Yeah. Harry Potter and the person that explained everything.
Harry Potter and the guy who cut through the bullshit and just said, I'll jerk you off in the bushes, Harry. And it was Hagrid, the end.
And it was Hagrid.
That's the actual text of the book.
You open it up. It's 1 page. It was Hagrid.
Oh, your wiener looks so tiny in my massive giant hands, Harry.
I'm a what?
You're a tiny wiener. Wizard. You're a wizard.
So anyway, good lord. So in addition to owning a mecha, which is probably the best thing you can do.
You could also buy Jurai power or mass power.
And it's got a system for doing custom nonsense. So if you're like, I have an item that doesn't fit into one of these categories, then they're like, all right, well, here's a custom item or a custom attribute section. And you can be like, all right, work with your GM, figure out how many points it would be worth. Like, this is the general scale of power you should be looking
at.
That
gives you some interesting examples. Like, it uses Mihoshi's gun as an example. Like, Mihoshi's got this little gun that does 3 different things. So let's just take that and boil down how many points it should be.
Yeah, you're like, okay, well, you've got options of different things you can do. It's got a damage range of this. It's a ranged weapon instead of a mace. And you're like, okay, so here's how you build it out. Like, oh, neat.
I do like that in this book, every time they say the word katana, which is fairly obvious often because katanas feature heavily in the show, they add in parentheses immediately after that, longsword. Is there another word in Japanese that less requires a translation at this point in role-playing game history specifically?
Even at the time this came out,
yeah,
who was like, I'm sorry, what's a katana?
What's this katana you're mentioning?
The katana?
That's an unusual. Is this some sort of catapult? A catamite? Are you talking about a catamite?
A catamaran?
It's just adorable to me. I'm like, everyone knows. I mean, this book came out post-Leonardo, which I think should be the bellwether of measurement for whether or not you have to translate katana anymore.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you're like, hey, this is like, I don't know, the 60s or 70s, and you want to tell someone about a katana, and they're like, I'm sorry, what's that?
A katana? I'm sorry. That sounds a lot like Keikaku, which I believe we all know.
Editor's note.
Means plan. Are you talking about a plan? Because that's spelled Keikaku.
Why would you attack someone with a plan? Although I suppose.
Is this a good idea to have a plan before you attack someone? You know what? This Keikaku of yours checks out. I'm sorry. Plan.
God damn it.
I just found that a funny little thing in the book. There's really, the book's, Tristat's, the one big broken aspect of Tristat, despite the fact that it's easy to pump damage to the point where no one will survive your attack.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything's
custom.
This is
just rocket tag.
Yeah, because it's custom built, you can be like, all right, my weapon does 140 points of damage, which is more health than anyone can have, and it ignores all field shields and dodge attempts. It cost me most of my character points, but there it is.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah. I have one. And the funny thing is, it's a defect to be like, I have one attack that does that. Oh, can you only do it like once a day? No, it's just that I only have the one attack.
No, it's just, you know,
oh,
just
it's
that.
Such a defect that I can only fire my ultra plasma blade. Oh, I'm the worst. I'm the worst person.
Oh, no.
I'm so bad at blasting everything out of existence. that's always been a problem with Tristat. Along with the whole, you can spend points into mecha to get more mecha. And
yeah, I make a mecha that has mecha, and that mecha has mecha.
Yeah, that's kind of a... I mean, this book thankfully caps that. You can't build subordinate mecha that themselves have subordinate mecha.
Yeah, you can't have mechas all the way down.
Yeah.
Like, you just have a weird nanite apocalypse of mecha.
The gray goo.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't gray goo it in this one. You can goo in this one, but...
Oh, boy. Tenchi can't. No, Tenchi can't goo in this one.
No, he's immune to it.
No one has spelled it out for him.
He's
yet.
Got so much Jiraiya.
He's got a bunch of pent up Jiraiya energy.
They forgot to write me into the book to release that. I also found it kind of funny that
well, he can't because he needs to power up his crystals. You see?
Oh yeah. So own a big mecha is 5 points per level, which will give you know mecha points. So if you're like, all right, I need a rank 4 mecha, that'll give me 80 points to build mecha with. The feat right or the ability right above it is an even bigger mecha.
And it's just, if you have a mecha and you've already spent 6 levels in mecha, you can go ahead and spend 6 more levels in bigger mecha?
Well, they're worth way less points.
Oh, yeah.
It's so you can do things like, I have a 60-point mecha, and I need 3 more points to complete my ultimate mecha, but I don't want to spend another 5 points of character. So now I'm going to go to this other power where the points are 1 for 1, and for 3 points, I'll buy 3 points, and then I'll be able to build a perfect 63-point mecha, the exact mecha I would like.
I think it's... I want to say it's basically like 5 points per point or 4 points or something.
Whatever it is, it's cheaper than the original one.
Yeah.
But there's only a maximum number of it that you can do.
Yeah, you can only get like 20 points out of it.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things where you're either you can really like modify the
fine-tune
the numbers you have,
mm-hmm,
or just add on. If you're like, I already have 120 points, which is the normal max.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and slap another 20 on there, because why not?
So both Jiraiya and Mass work by generating like mana reserves. They call them energy or power pools.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if those two things are synonyms in the book or not.
I don't.
Because it's kind of loose.
It's, I mean, Tristat's a little loosey-goosey.
The problem is that the main character that they want to talk to you about is Ryoko, and Ryoko just has every kind of power.
Yeah.
So it's a little tricky to determine what power pool she's using for what. Because she can do Jurai stuff, and she can do Mass stuff.
And she's got a mecha.
She just does everything. So it's hard to determine. But Jurai, when you buy Jurai or Mass, they're the same thing in terms of power generation. It's like, oh, for every 8 points you put in one rank of this, you get 10 power points that you can spend on Jurai sub-attributes. But Jurai specifically also has a more Jurai power ability, which you can use to buy yet more Jurai power points at a discount. So, but they didn't build the same thing in for Mass. So it's, if you're going to pick one, pick Jiraiya. Just putting that out there for people who might want to play the Tenchi Muyo
experience.
For
everyone who's been listening to this going, well, I've been wondering how to really optimize my non-mecha using Tenchi Muyo RPG character.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned to System Mastery for this.
That's the right place to turn. Folks, you've come to the right place.
Folks, after an hour of talking about dumb bullshit anime stuff, you've come to the right place.
Mm, I had so much more to say, John, but if you say it's been an hour, then what would you say is your favorite thing about Tenchi Muyo? I'm kidding. I was pretty much tapped out. I was going to talk about weapon attack descriptors. Like the part where it's like, oh
yeah,
tendrils, blades, and so on, where you buy like types of thing that your weapon's going to do, which I swear is just an excuse to show another picture of Ryoko naked in the bathtubs.
Yes, because she's like, ooh, she can cause her outfit to like attack you, and when she does, she's naked.
It's
like, great.
It's tangle attacking.
Great. Thanks, Bayonetta.
Uh-huh. Yeah. My hair comes alive. Oh, Bayonetta. Her games are so hard.
So am I.
Have you ever actually played a Bayonetta game?
No, I've never played
outside of the character.
No.
Have you ever played Devil May Cry?
Yes.
It's Devil May Cry.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it's that exact genre of like, you know.
It's Lady May Cry.
Yeah,
that's fine.
It completely is. You come to a little area, and then that area stops moving, so you have to fight the monsters that are in that area, and you build a big old combo meter. It's the same game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so. What would you say is your favorite thing about Tenchi Muyo?
You pointed out, I do actually really like the skill system in this.
Yeah, it's simple. It's nice and simple, and it works.
There's not a ton to it. The way that you add skills on is just a very simple, like, you know, 1 to 6, you can get some stuff, great.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really, like, it doesn't feel like, a lot of the ones that I have a problem with them skill system-wise is either they've constrained you in some weird way, or they've put out a million skills such that no matter what you do, there's going to be some stuff that you should be good at that you just aren't because you didn't have the points.
Yeah.
You know, this is a good happy medium of about like 30 something skills, like mm-hmm. 33 skills or something.
It's a good balance against the powers, of which there are far too many.
Yeah. But even then, the powers are still like, you'll pick one of these. You're probably not going to have a shitload of stuff.
The big thing is the vast majority of them are super cheap. Like, if you want to be able to, cuteness is 1 point, shooting an energy beam is 1 point per level, et cetera, et cetera. So they're all very cheap, which, honestly, it was a point where I'd read, like, 12 pages of these things, and they're, you know, little tiny paragraphs, and it was simple.
Yeah.
It was like, and I was like, man, Tenchi has all of these. Every time it was like, as an example, Tenchi has 2 points in being able to jump pretty good. And I was like, how many points does this guy built with? So I went back through and read him again. I was like, oh, no, it actually does kind of add up, because he has a ton of deficiencies built into him.
Yeah.
And these powers are super cheap.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, is you can, with some deficiencies, and if you don't go like hog wild on stats, you can just get a bunch of weird nonsense you do,
mm-hmm.
which is really the flavor of Tenchi Muyo,
yeah.
A bunch of weird nonsense.
Yeah, like if you try to list all the things that Ryoko can do, honestly, it kind of feels weird to try and categorize her, because she feels more like a metaphor for adolescence than a character you'd want. I mean, maybe I'm thinking a little more fooly-cooly here, but I mean, she's just
metaphor
sort of
metaphor for adolescence.
She's just sort of a mummy that comes out of
I
the
mean,
wall and
I mean, who among us, when we were going through puberty, didn't start shooting lasers out of our crystal hand?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think this is all part of the mono myth, that you're going to meet a weird mummy in a wall who decides she wants to bang you after you cut off her hand.
Yeah. And I think that's a perfect metaphor.
My weird mummy in a wall was my journalism teacher.
Listeners, let us know who your weird mummy in a wall was. Or weird mummy in a mall. I won't discriminate.
That was Khufu.
The mummy in a mall. Good Lord. Okay,
sorry,
so yeah, skill system.
Skill system.
Jeff, what is your favorite thing about Tenchi Muyo?
Oh, God. Well, I'll just say the basic resolution mechanic, not the non-combat portion of it, because this is a pretty much, it's a 2d6 roll under.
Yeah.
It's a nice, simple system. The skills just reduce the difficulty by the rank of the skill that you have. It's simple and intuitive. It doesn't have a whole lot of unnecessary granularity, especially for a game like this. Because, I mean, let's face it, there really wasn't a whole lot of epic, like, close combat in Tenchi Muyo. Usually it was like, oh my gosh, I'm being defeated. I'll just reveal a power I hadn't talked about yet.
Hmm.
So I think the basic skill resolution system, or not skill resolution, but just resolution in general,
yeah.
is fine. It doesn't actually hold up when you get to combat. At combat, it falls apart because there's no interaction.
No.
But for the purposes of just roll this and see whether or not you succeeded, I'm fine.
Yeah.
What would you say is your least favorite thing about Tenchi Muyo?
I mean, probably Tenchi Muyo.
I mean, yeah, you could easily say the first 50 pages of the book.
Even then, I liked the first bit where it was like, hey, we're going to give you, I mean, it's like 20 pages that is just, here's a description of the actual OAV.
That
like,
was fine, yeah.
The 12 episodes of the OAV, here it is, we'll give you a rundown of each episode.
Well, I like the kind of report on it, almost like a Wikipedia article about it, more than I like the rundown of the episodes. The episode rundown, I could barely keep my eyes on it. but sure, go ahead. I'm sorry. Least favorite thing.
Well, thing is, that was fine for me. I didn't care for the then, like, when they gave the stat blocks for all of the people that they just re-put everything, and then after that did it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you get the same information like four times in this book, and you really didn't need that.
Well, I think, like I was saying before, I think that might be like standard to the kind of these resource books when they're not role-playing games.
Yeah, I know that's just a thing that I will never understand.
Mm-hmm.
Of people who are like, oh, I need to get this book that tells me all about a thing I know all about already. And I'm like, but why?
And the answer is because you're going to put it on your wall.
Because it's going to be one more thing that says Tenchi Muyo on my wall.
Yeah, I'm going to own it, and that's going to be awesome. I mean, there's more than one person in San Diego who just has a huge storage room completely full of Funko Pops.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They don't want them, but they bought them.
They don't want them, but they keep showing up.
Yeah, they keep getting them.
And they're too afraid to try and get rid of them now.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say my least favorite thing in this book, more or less, is the way too much information about the show compared to the amount of stuff about how to play a game about the show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like a 200-page book, and mm-hmm. the rules is maybe 40 pages.
Yeah. And then after that, there's a huge section in this that's nothing but, like, pinups of the characters.
Yeah. The back of this book is just, like, okay, I get it. You've got a Tenchi magazine.
Mm-hmm. And they reuse. Like, you'd think that a book this big full of art of Tenchi Muyo wouldn't need to reuse, but boy, does it ever. I think there's the same picture of Mihoshi in here three times.
I'm sure.
So, I'm not a huge fan of that. I mean, the art's kind of neat, because this was a fun anime. I guess. Although, maybe I'd even say my least favorite thing is I felt like going to get a drink while I was reading this. So I headed to a Chili's and ordered a cider and a bowl of chips. And I was sitting there trying to read it. And every third page, you'd be like, all right, where's the salt shaker? I got to put it over some exposed breasts because I'm reading this in a Chili's. It's my fault.
This was my fault.
And even then, it's not like I'm doing anything wrong. I just don't want the waiter to come by and be like, oh, you're reading about Tenchi Muyo. I love that. Let's just have a long conversation. I was like, nope, I do not want this book to be an invitation to social interaction. I just want to get through this quietly.
That's always the problem with trying to read an RPG anywhere in public. If someone's like, hey, what's that? Is that like a D&D?
Yeah, and then there are, well, my cousin plays a lot of Fortnite. Is that what that is?
My favorite.
Oh god, yeah. I'm so glad I don't have an office job anymore, because the number of things I've had connected by various office workers to seeing me reading the wall of dumb shit that you and I have read,
yeah,
is insane. Well, the weird one is dolls. The word dolls pops up so much. People will see me read. I was reading A-State once, and a person came up to me in an office like, what are you reading? I was like, it's a weird Scottish role-playing game. I'm doing it for a show I do. And they're like, oh, that's like I have my little nephew, he plays something called like 40K. He's got all these like dolls. Is that what you do? Do you have a lot of dolls? And I was like, is that an earnest question? Am I being made fun of? What's happening?
I don't understand, because that's the kind of thing I would say to make fun of someone playing 40K.
Yeah. And I was like, yes, I actually have quite a number of dolls.
Yes, I actually do.
I have a huge army of Dark Eldar dolls. Thank you for asking if I had some dolls. Yeah,
I do.
Yes, but for the love of God, go away.
please leave.
I don't walk up to you and be like, oh, are you reading Entertainment Weekly? Because it was sitting in here?
Wow, do you like celebrities? Do you have a lot of celebrity crushes?
My nephew likes celebrities. He's got a lot of dolls.
Fuck dolls.
Well, now I'm interested. Now it's a conversation. How much is he paying for these things?
And oh, it's homemade.
What are the? Oh, ooh.
Oh, he's an artisan.
What's he working in? What's his media? Tell me it's felt. Cold butter and felt.
Cold butter and felt.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, a lot of thimbles, too. His thimble budget is crazy.
Boy spends on thimbles, let me tell you.
I'll tell you one thing for sure. You spend a lot of on thimbles? I know you're doing a show.
I know you got a show. Do you spend a lot on thimbles?
What's your thimble layout per year?
God, this episode has gone off of the motherfucking rails.
Well,
as
John,
hard as you can.
Would you play Tenchi Muyo RPG and resource book?
You know what? Yes.
Ooh.
Yes, I would.
Oh, there's a bold declaration.
Mostly because I would want to fuck with it, but yeah, also because I'm like, yeah, put me in one of these dumb harem animes. I just want to do stupid things.
Well, yeah, like I was saying before, you just want to be like, all right, day one, you're in a harem anime. All right, I have sex.
That's what I do.
You're ruining the game. Brandon, stop. Everybody,
you can't do this.
That's not what this is. That's not what this is. It's about the tension and the balance about how this nebbish weirdo won't have sex. Why? Why won't he have sex?
But why? But
I mean, if he has a reason, like if he's ace or something, I'm 100% in support of that. But
does his dick not work? Does he suffer from stinky dick?
You know what? He doesn't even need to give me a reason, but ultimately, I have to choose how I spend my time, and I choose to spend my time fucking that space pirate.
There's a Michelin Web bit about
Angel Summoner and the BMX Bandit.
No, about a body British hospital comedy where everything's like, "Oh, you're gonna feel a little prick. Oh, I wish," and then the one doctor's like, "Should I get my cock out?" And like doesn't understand that the convention is innuendo, and it is so good. That would be me. Everyone would be like, "Ooh, innuendos," and I'd be like, "So should I get my cock out?"
Well, you guys are all going to a RioCon today to take a bath in the hot springs, and the men and the women have to be kept separate. Very well, I will obey those rules. No, you need to try and sneak up on them, but you've just clearly stated that I should not. Plus, I don't like to be naked in front of people, especially.
I don't think I'm going to go.
All right, John, you can star in a harem anime, but you have to choose between the two main characters of Richard Iowade or David Mitchell.
Oh, I'm David Mitchell. Now, in the game, however.
You're David Mitchell's portrayal of Richard Iowade.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair. So there you go, folks. I also would probably play this just because it seems like it's got a really mess-withable engine.
Yeah.
And I want to mess with it very
much. It's one of those engines where you're like, oh, you've given me too many options.
Yeah.
There's definitely a way I can fuck with this.
I'm going to bespoke this thing. John, let me ask you a question.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then let me tell you a statement.
All right.
You like the Star Trek.
You like the Star Trek, huh? Eh? Eh?
You do, right?
Manje.
Yeah, you like specifically the original Star Trek series.
Eh?
You know, the one where people are always arguing about how many episodes there are, even. That one?
You know that one?
The one like that?
You know the old one?
The old one. The really old one. The one from the 30s.
You know, TOS?
Yeah, Star Trek TOS. That's what they call it. Because yeah. They had to get out and throw the Enterprise every time.
Get out and throw the Enterprise around. There was nothing like going outside and throwing the old Enterprise around with your dad.
Yeah, you could tell, because back then they had all those extra ranks of Enterprise dudes who like would die on the planet every time. And they'd be like, you know, I'm a yeoman. Like, there's no yeomans in the next generation. Yeah, because we stopped bringing people onto the Enterprise to die. But early in Star Trek history, they had to like hire a bunch of yeomans and extra ensigns and shit to just go outside, push the thing.
Yeah.
Get it to go.
Just really shove it. Mm-hmm. While, you know, Kirk is hanging his head out the side window and going like, come on, we've almost got it.
Come on, we'll come back and pick you up, I promise.
I won't.
Well, John, I am here because to tell you. I am here because to tell you.
I am here to tell you because.
We recently had a friend of the show purchase a couple of Jumbotron spaces from us, which we need to stop calling that, because apparently that's what another network calls them, and we're kind of stepping on their toes.
Yeah, fuck them.
I don't know if they can. I don't think they can license Jumbotron either. I feel like that's...
No, that's an actual thing.
It's like officially the name of the thing. So, yeah, you know what? Up yours, whatever network that is. I think it's the one that the Jordan, Jesse, Go, whatever they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, up yours, people John knew in college.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suck it. But the deal with a friend who wanted to purchase some Jumbotron spaces is that he wanted us to do a couple of ads for one of his favorite shows. It couldn't be his favorite show, or just be a bunch of ads for our own show. Which
exactly.
That would be weird. But for another show, a show that he particularly enjoys, and at the same time, he wanted them to do some shows for or some ads for us.
Indeed.
And so we're kind of doing an ad trade, and I'm here to tell you about a Star Trek podcast that you should check out because of how much you like that Star Trek TOS.
How much you like that TOS.
Yeah. Now, the podcast in question is one that's called Rachel Watches Star Trek.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think you'll probably find this a pretty familiar genre concept. Rachel has no idea about the Star Trek and hasn't watched the original series, really. But one by one, they're going through and watching the episodes, her and her colleague, Chris. There's no long pause there. It's Chris.
Look, we're professionals.
I definitely didn't obviously forget that. Yeah, not at all. So Rachel and Chris, who has seen the series and is kind of keeping her on a keel, and the show is all about her predicting things that come in the future and making up fun jokes about as they go along. That sounds very familiar to me, like how we've been doing with the Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
So I know that the Star Wars stuff has been a big success, so obviously.
Obviously, Star Trek.
Far more successful than Star Wars overall.
Yeah.
Like, in the grand scheme of things.
Well, I mean, there's so many more episodes of Star Trek than there were episodes of Star Wars. There's only 8 of them right now.
Well, now, that's not true. There's
the 9th one's coming.
There's a 9th one coming. There's 2 movies that aren't in the number series.
Yeah, but I'm making a joke about episode. You get it?
No, I don't.
Episode
because,
1.
Because you made a reference to Star Wars, so now I have to be pedantic about it.
Now, I have to mansplain to you about Star Wars.
Oh, John, let me spread my legs on this one real quick. There we go. I don't even need this
I'm
much
I'm sorry,
chair.
the word is called vagina.
So, it's a similar conceit to Expounded Universe, and basically the idea is that she's watching the show, making her predictions about characters. Apparently, they've decided that Spock is named Spirk, it seems like it's a really fun, good time.
Good.
They're recently just as high up as Episode 52 by any other name, because there's nothing that Star Trek loves more than...
Well, yeah, but what would you call it aside from Episode 52?
Episode 51, I think, because there's still an argument about whether or not, like, a two-parter counts as one episode.
Two-parter's a one-parter?
Yeah, people get violent arguments about it. Like, they get into these ridiculous fights.
Yeah, it's almost as virulent as whether or not Kirk and Spock are banging.
Well, people agree, hands down, that Kirk and Spock are banging. There is no question.
They're hanging and banging.
They're hanging, they're banging. The fights occur over what their anthro fur species is when they're doing it. And ride or die, Team Kirk is an ocelot. I don't understand how you could come from anywhere else.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure he's a ferret.
Okay, we're going to have words.
No words, my friend.
Words will be spoken. So, if you want to find Rachel Watches Star Trek, you can go to rachelwatchesstartrek.com or patreon.com/rachelwatchesstartrek. Now, as we do whenever we suggest you go and visit anyone else's Patreon, obviously this is something you're going to do after you've given us most of your money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you've got anything left over, then can go ahead and give a pittance to someone else.
Now, they've already hit their only Patreon goal. But they're close to it, so it's a good idea to give them a little bit of a buffer. They hit $1,000 in the past couple of months, and they are now at the point where their episodes are weekly, which is great. We did the same goal for Expounded Universe.
Exactly.
So good for them. But that's the only goal they have, except I think they just recently added a new one where if they make it all the way to $3,000 per month, they will buy us a pig.
Yeah, they'll get us a pig.
Yeah, now that's going to be a problem for us because we don't need 2 pigs.
Oh.
Hell, we don't even need 1 pig.
I mean, we want 1 pig.
Yeah, 1 pig is the right number of pigs. But I don't know what we're going to do with 2 pigs. I guess we made them.
Yeah.
Make sure that if they... If
we're going to have a farm. Yeah, they're going to find truffles for us.
So head to their Patreon, listen to their most recent episode, because they make a guarantee in it that they are definitely going to buy us a pig.
Yeah, you have to listen to their episode, to find it.
It's somewhere... I'm not going to tell you the exact timestamp, because, you know, this is an ad. I don't have time for that. We have things to do.
Yeah, we've definitely not wasted a ton of time on this ad.
RachelWatchesStarTrek.com. Check it out. Listen to their awesome show. They also have fun British accents because they're from Knightley, England. So we're violating our usual credo of not liking the British.
Yeah,
this is.
I mean, we still don't. But
well, I guess these guys are okay then.
We like the podcast. We just don't like them.
No. They're cool on a probationary basis. Thank you so much, John, for listening to me tell you that you like Star Trek.
Thanks. Thanks for telling me about that toss.
And back to the show.
Speaking of fucking with this engine, how about you join us for some bonus content?
What?
I've got this truck over here that's raring to go. You want to put it in a tailpipe?
No.
Fuck this engine.
No, I don't want to burn my wiener.
Too bad.
There's an F-plus episode I listened to a while back about guys who like to have sex with cars.
Yeah.
And a lot, most of them do it in the tailpipe, but they all know not to do it when the car's turned on.
Well, obviously.
Because you'll get third-degree burns on your wing-wang.
If there's one thing that people who want to fuck cars know, it's you never have sex when the other thing is turned on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. You don't want to... God damn it. but there was this one bit in the story, or in the show that it was some guy who was like, yeah... everywhere I go all day long, when I go for walks around, I come across cars when the owner's just like, hey, man, you want to fuck my car? And I'm like, yes, I do. And the way that the people on the show and the commenters in the actual post that this guy was putting up determined he was lying was that the cars were always turned on.
Huh?
That was how that was the big Sherlock Holmes detective moment for them. Huh? This dude who just walks around rural Britain and is invited to fuck cars everywhere he goes. Huh? And they're like, wait a minute, I think you're lying, because those cars shouldn't be turned on when you do that. And I'm like, I feel like it would be that all those rural Britons don't actually want people to.
I'm pretty sure it's that no one has ever seen a stranger and been like, you want to fuck my car?
Yeah. I say, chap, would you like to stick your tallywhacker into my exhaust pipe?
Pardon me, would you like to have a go at the old car here?
Oh, no, that's not an innuendo. I'm not inviting you to fuck my bum. I literally mean my car. I actually mean tailpipe in this situation.
Yes.
It's a Citroen. Please, go nuts. Bonus content. That's a thing we have.
Jesus, we're gonna make characters in Tenchi Muyo, the RPG.
Like, yeah,
are we both gonna make mecha guys? Probably.
I don't know. That does seem like it would take a lot of work to build out from that many points. I might build the character at the center of the anime who does nothing and cannot.
What did you do? Oh, I've got a guy who has no powers and nothing going for him, and also everyone wants to bone him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the center of this whole stinking rose. Okay, so to get that bonus content where we make characters in the game we just reviewed, all you have to do is join our Patreon, our apparently unstable Patreon. Head on down to patreon.com/systemmastery and support us at even the $1 level, the very base, and you will unlock that content where we make characters.
Yes, indeed.
It's just that simple.
You get so much content every episode. If you go up from there, you get even more.
Yeah, it's possible to unlock, on average, about 7 bonus episodes a month.
Yeah.
Which, good Lord, you know you have to drive to work every day
and drive back. You gotta.
Why drive to the local boring radio station? How many Alice in Chains songs have you already had to listen to because you weren't on our Patreon?
Just think about that for a minute.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
And then have sex with it. Put that in your tailpipe and fuck it.
Wait, which one? The pipe or the knowledge of how many Alice in Chains songs?
Both. You put that in the tailpipe and then you fuck the tailpipe that has the knowledge of Alice in Chains songs.
Okay, that's good to hear. Just $1 unlocks that content, supports us, and keeps us able to do this show, which, Lord knows, we probably should not be able to do this show.
After this episode, probably not.
Yeah, this was a mistake. We're going to get some phone calls.
The president is going to call. I'm the president of podcasts.
Oh, I was worried it was just going to be James again. Network head. Guys, you talked about wieners for 45 minutes.
You just, ooh, the amount of dick talk in this one. You got to scale that back.
And I'm like, oh, are you calling to give us our medals then? Because here on the One Shot Network, where it's all dicks all the time.
It's all dick, all day, every day.
Nothing but kissing and kissing dicks.
Kissing, kissing dicks, and dicks kissing.
The One Shot Network. Thank you so much for listening, folks. Go to that Patreon and support us. And otherwise, we will see you next week. And have a good week.